You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Since your family can't go to the outside, I thought I'd bring the outside to you. I'm here at Lowe's. I've got to pick up some things for MC3, and I've got to pick up some things for home. And I thought I would have you join me as I go through that. And as always, I've got my, I don't know if you can see that there, I've got my checklist. I never leave home without one. I love checklists. It's always nice to have something and, you know, go through my day and check off the things that I do. Frankly, I'll just be clear, you know, I'm one of these people, and I know some of you are, that if I did something that wasn't on my list, I'll write it on the list and then check it off. So I've got my list of all the things that I need to get, and I'm going to walk through the store, and you can join me on this as we do it. So I'm going in. I got my mask on, and being safe with all of my social distancing. Hey, by the way, just in case you weren't aware, humans breathe through their noses too. So, like, if you wear a mask and it doesn't cover your nose, it's not actually helping, you know, with the germ thing. Just for the record, in case you weren't aware of that. So here we go. Hopefully this works, and people don't like get all weird on me because I'm holding a camera and walking and talking to it. But I guess, you know, such is life. So here we go. Got weed and feed for the lawn. It's on sale right now. So got that. And of course, going to the checklist. Check. Oh, come on. Check. All right. Let's keep going. Outlet. No, wait, wrong color. Outlet for the sound booth. Nice thing about the mask is that you can't actually see up my nose, so that's nice. You know, nose hair, no nose hair action going on. And of course, I will take and hit the check. Check. Okay. Moving on. Finally, found it. Outlet or switch for the sound booth. So I will take that. Check that off of my list as well. And keep going. Outlet boxes, covers.
Flooring desk.
Outlet boxes and two covers here. What I need for that. Check, check, check. All right, one more thing to go. Wrong spot again. And the last item. Drip edge for my gutter. I have a gutter problem. Our gutter was leaking a little bit over the edge at home. So I've got this. I can check it off of my list. And I'm done. So instead of recording from now on and kind of freaking out people at the checkout line, I'll just stop here. And I will see you in the garage in a little bit. Well, welcome to the building now. Thank you. We've made it to the garage and you endured my Lowe's shopping trip. And thank you, because there were some things I definitely needed to get for our house and for here around
for here, around here at the building. I couldn't even say that. There's new stuff here for the MC3 building. So thanks for doing that. And of course, you watch me go through and kind of check everything off of my list. And as I said, I love lists. I'm totally a list guy. I've got lists for everything. I've got a list of things that I do when I'm every day. I have an everyday to-do list. I have a list of things that I do for my day off. I have a list of projects at my house. I have a list for the individual projects and what things I check off of those things. And it's great. I know that last week I made fun of people and called you sick and twisted if you enjoyed exercise. So now's your chance to make fun of me, because one of my sick and twisted pleasures is I love Monday mornings going into the office and getting my to-do list from last week and deleting all the things that are checked off, and then taking the new things and adding them on so that I've got my list for the week. But because it's a thing. It helps me get through the day, I guess. But the thing about my list is that, you know, without let me take this. Check my mic. We're going unscripted. We're off the script right now. There we go. Get my big old ear in there. Okay, so the thing about lists is that just checking them off isn't enough, of course. If I bought all those different supplies and all I did was say, check, I got it, but didn't actually use them to fix the gutter in our house, if I didn't use them for some of the projects that need to be done, it would be pointless. Like, so there's no reason to actually just check it off. Like, if the list stops there, it's pointless. It makes me a dupe, essentially. It's like, what? Why did you even do that? You didn't actually accomplish anything. It's just having a list. And so the idea of the list is it's a starting point, and you check it off, but then you actually, it's for what you're doing. And so it's so important that when we have a list, you know, like, not we, it's like a thing. But for me, if I just have the list but don't actually do something, it's pointless. And I want to just caution you and me, because there's a lot of times we look at knowing and reading the Bible the same way. We've got this list that, okay, I did my reading plan, check, and we move on with life. Or we say, okay, I went to church, check, whether it's in person or online, you know, check. And we kind of leave it at that without actually doing anything about what we have learned, about what we have read. And so that's a serious problem, because if we're not actually obeying the Word of God, then we're also just dupes. It's just pointless. And so the point for this week is this, that dupes just read the Bible, real faith obeys it. And so what's a dupe? We're on week two of this series called Dupes. And of course, by now, you've played Discover the Dupe. You've also saw that really cool intro video that Josh put together about this series. So a dupe is a fake. It's a knockoff. It's not as good as the original. And unfortunately, many times when it comes to following Jesus, there are people that you and me and people that we know and sometimes part of who we are at times, we're in this fake mode of following Jesus. We're dupes. We kind of go through the motions, but we're not actually following Jesus. We're just a fake. We're just a poser. And I totally did skate. I had a skateboard because I was getting mocked based on my poser comment last week. I had a skateboard and I skated on it. So there. Yeah. Hang loose. How does it even go? Anyway, but the idea of being a poser, of being a fake, is not good enough. And unfortunately, I think, you know, as Americans, as followers of Jesus, we kind of sometimes fall into this pattern of just being a fake. And James, the whole book of James, is all about what does real faith look like? How does that actually look? How does it? What does following Jesus really mean? And last week we talked about this idea of going through difficult situations, and, you know, a fake poser, a dupe, will run from it, but real faith embraces the difficulties. And today we're looking at this idea with reading the Bible. And again, don't get me wrong here. It's good to read the Bible, but if we just read the Bible, then we're just a fake. Then we're a dupe. But real faith actually obeys it. And so we're going to continue this series. We're going to pick up at the next part of the book of James from where we left off last week. And as we said, James, you know, wrote this as a letter to believers, the followers of Jesus that were scattered all over the world, mostly Jewish. They were by birth they were Jewish people that are now following Jesus. And I didn't mention last week that James was also the half brother of Jesus. So he grew up with Jesus. And so this is the guy writing this book to us, and it was written near the end of the first century. I didn't really mention that last week. Right before, many people believe, right before he was martyred, where he was killed for following Jesus. So understand that when James is talking about these things, like, he's going to be dying shortly for following Jesus. And so he knows real faith. And so as we look at this today, I want us to understand that we can't do a checklist when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to reading the Bible. It can't just be like, check, I did that thing. And again, reading is great, but that can't be the end of it. What matters is what we do with it. What do we do with what do you do? What do I do with what we hear and learn on a Sunday morning in the worship experience? What do we do with what we read in our Bible, whether it's a YouVersion reading plan, whether it's your paper Bible, whether it's something you hear on the radio? What do we do with it? That's what matters. And so the checklist isn't enough. And it's so important that we can't just be checking it off and then think we're done, because it's not enough. So I want to just share a couple of things that James draws out as we continue in the book here about what it looks like to actually obey the Word of God. The first thing is that he says, don't fight it, accept it. Don't fight it, accept it. And let's just read here. In verses 19 to 21, James writes this. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. So, you know, first reading, you're like, why is James even, what does this have to do with, you know, obeying the word of God? Well, he's just talking about don't get angry. And I think this is actually on purpose, one, because, you know, God led James to write this. But he says there to humbly accept the word that God has planted in your life. So he says, humbly accept it. And the Greek word here, there's two words to come together. One is en, which means by or with. And the other word is proutes, which means meekness, which means humility. But it's not in like weakness, but it's humility that's powerful. It's a willingness to say, I realize that there's something bigger here, and so I'm going to humble myself in that. And so he says that we need to humbly accept the word. We need to allow it to affect us. We need to accept it in our lives. And that's why he says, don't fight. Don't get angry. Because I think it's easy for us to get frustrated when it feels like we're trying to be controlled by something. I think that's human nature. I think it's hard sometimes when we're like, wow, that's a little bit challenging. That's difficult. I don't want to do that. So we get angry. And I think anger is kind of a natural response to us not wanting to do something. And so James says, look. Understand this. Realize this, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because this isn't making you righteous the way God wants you to be. He says, this isn't what it looks like to follow Jesus. He says, get rid of all that stuff. Get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and accept the word. And so James is saying, you know, the first step here to this obedience is to not get angry, not to fight against it and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. James says, just humble yourself. Just back off and allow the word of God to affect you. Allow God's word to change you. Allow God's word to direct you and to guide you. And that's how it'll be a better thing for us. And we're going to see that in a little bit here. But he says, just don't be so quick to get angry and to respond and to jump back. Instead, let God's word just kind of infuse you. Let it just kind of settle, accept it, receive it, and allow God's word to change you that way in humility. And we did a whole series on humility. It was called Less of Me. We did that a couple of years ago about John the Baptist. And we looked at that word, that same word, proutes, that same word of humility. What does it look to put others, and in this case, put God's word over our own desires, our own wants. James says, look, don't fight it. Accept it. Let God's word change you. Let God's word affect you. Humbly submit to what God has for us. And that's the first step. And again, if our first response is, I read that, I don't like it, never mind, I'm going to get angry and forget it, then we've missed what real faith is, because we're simply fighting back. So the first thing he says is, don't fight it, accept it. Now he starts to get a little bit more direct. The second thing is, don't hear it, obey it. Don't hear it, obey it. And again, nothing wrong with hearing, nothing wrong with listening. He says, but don't let that be the end of it. We need to obey the word of God. And so he goes on in verses 22 to 25 and says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. We must do what it says. And he says, otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And we're just going to kind of stay on this screen here for a moment, because I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. The first is that he says, don't just listen, but do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. James essentially is saying that if you don't actually obey the word of God, you're an idiot. You're a fool. You think that just listening is enough? Just checking off your plan is enough? He says, you must do what it says. He's like, let me tell you a story. He says, let me tell you about a guy. It's like going, you look at yourself in a mirror, and the word there, to look, glancing at, actually means to contemplate, to look intently. So it's not like you happen to walk by. It's like you stare at yourself in the mirror, and then you walk away, and you totally forget what you look like. He's like, doesn't that make someone sound like an idiot? He says, that's exactly what you and I are if we are just listening to God's word, checking it off of our list, but not actually doing what it says. He says, we need to look carefully into the law that sets you free. And I know right now there's a lot in our world, in our culture. I mean, now we're talking about reopening, and what does that look like? And what am I allowed to do? What do I have the freedom to do? And what rights are being taken or given from me? And I think we all need to just step back and say, it's not about our rights. James says, the word of God, obeying the Bible, that's where true freedom is found. That's what will set us free. Because then we're not bound to trying to figure out, is it my job to do that? How do I fix this? How do I change this? It's going, hey, God, it's your job to do those things. It's my job to simply obey you. And so James says, don't just hear it, obey it. Knowing the Bible means nothing if you don't obey it. Knowing the Bible means nothing if you don't obey it. Everything else is just a dupe. And you can walk around and say, I know the Bible, I've learned this, I've gone to church all my life. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've got like 500 YouVersion plans, or maybe you've got a paper devotional. Maybe you've read the Bible cover to cover. Those are all good, wonderful things. But if it stops there, then you're just a dupe. If it stops without actually doing what it says, without actually obeying the words that God has given to us, knowing them means nothing. It's doing what matters. Someone wise at our creative team meeting, and I think it might have been Kara, maybe she got this from someone else, said, to know and not to do is not to know. To know and not to do is not to know. As we were discussing this passage in James at our meeting a couple months ago, that if we know it but we don't do it, what's the point of knowing it? It doesn't even matter. James says we need to do what it says. And again, anyone who doesn't obey, you're an idiot. You're like someone that looks at yourself in the mirror, gazes intently, and walks away and forgets. Like, that, don't be an idiot. And this idiot fool theme is going to keep coming back, because I think it's a big deal. Because we need to obey it. And why does he say it makes us an idiot? Why are we like a fool? Because obeying the word of God is the best possible thing for you and for me. Even if it's costly. Even if it affects perhaps our dreams for the future. even if it affects the way people see us or relate to us, it doesn't matter because God's word is the most important thing for us. It's His word. And so when we obey it, then we're not fools. Then we're wise. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. So don't fight it. Accept it. Don't hear it. Obey it. And then finally, don't bend it. Do it. Don't bend it. And what I'm saying here is, how often do we look at something in the Bible, we read something, we're like, that's uncomfortable, that's inconvenient, and so we try to find a way to kind of bend that rule. To like, well, it doesn't actually mean what it says there. Well, and because of my situation, it doesn't quite apply to me. And we bend it, and we work our way around of actually having to do what it says, and then we walk away going, oh, we're good. We're good. We don't have to worry about that now. We're okay. You know, check, I'm good, and that part doesn't apply to me, so it's okay. And don't get me wrong, there are, and we talked about this during the crop series, we talked about this in a number of different series, not everything equally applies the same way. God makes some promises to the nation of Israel that do not directly apply to us, but there are principles that we can take away from that. So even that isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's something that we says, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. This is who God is. These are His commands to us. And frankly, if we just focus, and I'm not saying we should ignore the Old Testament, but even if we just focused on the New Testament, which is clearly written, even if we just focused on all the letters, which are clearly written to churches, which is what you and I are, and we just did that, I think we'd be doing pretty well. But unfortunately, we try to bend the rules to get around what we're supposed to do. And so this is what James says as he continues on in verse 26. He says, if you claim to be religious, if you claim to be religious, and this religious word is not a bad word. It means someone that is devout and going beyond just going through the motions. But he says, if you claim to be one of those people, if you call yourself a Christ follower, you can put those words in there, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. And here he calls us out again as idiots and fools. And your religion is worthless. If we call ourselves religious and don't control our tongue, our religion is worthless. He says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and the widows and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. And so James is saying, like, he's talking about people that were kind of like finding their way around it. Like, well, I'm religious, but I can say whatever I want because it doesn't really matter because those people don't count. Or I was angry or I was upset. Or we get into this spot where we're like, well, that doesn't really matter. And James is like, no. What matters, if you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you want to call yourself religious, then it means you're actually doing the things that we're supposed to do. And of course, caring for orphans and widows, that wasn't convenient. That isn't convenient. And this idea of controlling our tongue, well, I just can't control what I say. And then he kind of covers everything else by saying, and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Oh, well, you know, that's kind of the way things are now. We kind of need to go along. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And James is like, you're just an idiot. You're fooling yourself if you think that's true religion. If you think that's really following Jesus, he says, you're a dupe. And James says, we can't let the world affect us. We can't let these things change and shape us. We need to obey the word of God. He says, don't bend it, do it. And how often, again, do we find the loophole? Do we look for the way that it doesn't quite have to apply to us? So we don't actually have to do what God has commanded us to do. Because maybe it's inconvenient, maybe it's unpopular. And we can skip that. But then we'll do the things that we want to do because those are the easy part. And James says that if we're just doing the convenient parts, if we're just doing the easy parts, if we're not obeying the whole thing, then we're just a dupe. And so all of these come back to this idea of the importance. Like the checklist is not good enough to say check and I did it. James is saying don't do it like that. Do it by your actions. Obey it. Do what God says. From Genesis to Revelation, throughout the Word of God, and I forget what I was just looking at the point online a couple of weeks back, and I think we've got, you know, as far as the audio, I think we've got somewhere around 370 some different points. So, you know, we're coming up on 9 years at MC3, and so you could do the math We don't have Fifth Sunday, so that's, I can't do that math. But anyway, the idea is that, you know, that's 350 different concepts that we've talked about over these years. You know, and are we actually, can we say, yeah, I listened to that. Oh, I enjoyed that. And there's nothing wrong with listening. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying. But if we stop there, then it's pointless. If all that I am doing in teaching has people go, oh, that was neat. And then we walk away and don't do anything, then seriously, I could find much better things to do with my time, I guess. Because it's not about just hearing it. It's not about just reading it. It's about doing it. And understand, and we'll get to this in a second, like this applies to me too. I mean, it's hard and it's easy at the same time to kind of go through the motions. And so, you know, okay, Sean, I'm studying this. I'm teaching this. Sean, how is this affecting you? And I often pray, God, allow this to change me, not just me sharing it with them, but to be real, to be authentic, to be a true follower of Jesus. And I don't know if unfortunately is the right word, but it seems that when I start praying those prayers, God's like, okay, we'll give you a chance to do that. And I'm grateful that based on last week, I guess I'm going to embrace those difficult moments. But the point is, we can't just stop with the checklist. And the thing that I didn't mention here, he talked about just, well, what does he talk about? I missed it. There we go. He says, if you claim to be religious and don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and not letting the world corrupt you. Like, there's this whole idea of doing these things is the right thing. Not just the right thing. It's the best thing for you and for me. So following God's instructions, following His commands, obeying His word isn't just something that God says, I want you to do. He says, I want you to do because it's what's best for you. And we'll hit that in a moment here. But again, the point is this, that dupes just read the Bible. Real faith obeys it. And so that's the question. Like, am I just a dupe? Am I going through the motions and I'll definitely obey that thing. I'll definitely follow that instruction because that one's really easy. But this one over here is not so easy. And, well, it doesn't really apply to me anyway. And I just, like, this is real. This is a dupe. I mean, what does that look like? What does real faith look like? And so I don't want us just to walk away going, wow, I guess I need to do more. I mean, and that's good. But how? How does this happen? How do we take the word of God and actually obey it? Because for me, again, I have this time too. And I just, as I was saying, kind of allowing God's word to change me, I've realized over the last couple of weeks, I'm like, you know, I've been going through my reading plans. And reading them and checking them off. And I was even talking with my kids a couple of days ago and kind of confessing, like, I read church books. I read Christian books. I read fiction, too. That's not. But when I'm reading church books, I find that if there's a Bible passage quoted in there, like, my brain just clicks right off and jumps right to the next paragraph. And I've had to be more intentional. I'm like, no. Just because I know it doesn't mean I can skip it. I go back and read and let it affect me. Which I guess brings me to the next thought here is, let's talk about a checklist for obedience. What does it look like to obey? If we're going to get into this checklist idea and check things off, how do we actually take the word of God and obey it? How do we move into that direction? And understanding too, like, we're sinners. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. And God says, yes, I know. That's why I sent my son Jesus to die for you. He took that punishment for us. But it doesn't mean that we can just kind of wallow in it. We don't just continue in our sin and our disobedience just because, well, Jesus died. And so what does it look like to obey? The first thing, and this is kind of the underlying assumption, is that you need to be hearing it or reading it. The word of God. You have to be reading it. And I would strongly encourage you to be reading God's word every day. Don't just wait till Sunday. But read it every day. And one of the things, of course, we've talked about this a billion times. But YouVersion is the free Bible app that you can get on any device, literally any device. And it has pretty much every English translation and almost every other language translation available 100% free. No ads, no junk. And YouVersion has incredible reading plans that will even remind you You can read them by yourself. You can actually get together with some other friends and read a plan together and actually write comments back and forth and encouraging each other. But YouVersion, if you are not already using YouVersion, then I would strongly recommend it. And I would suggest to all of MC3, to everybody listening, if you go to YouVersion and go to plans, and depending on which device you're using, depends on which corner that is, but click on plans, tap on plans there, and just search for James. And there are dozens of plans on the book of James. And I think it'd be really cool if we're talking about reading God's word, that's the first step, then why don't we together pick a plan, grab a friend. Maybe you don't grab a friend. Maybe you and your spouse do a plan together. But let's do plans on James and really look into the word of God about the book of James over these next 2 months. But YouVersion is an opportunity, and that's assuming, that's the baseline, that we start there to read the word of God, to read the Bible. And so then as we read it, then we can allow it to start to transform us as God uses his word. And this isn't on the screen, but Hebrews talks about how the word of God is living and active, and it works deep inside of us and affects our thoughts and our minds and kind of draws out the things that need to change. And if we're not reading it, and again, this isn't meant to be a guilt trip. This is just meant to be a, hey, here's a great thing, a great tool, a great opportunity for you and me to grow, to become more like Jesus, is reading God's word every day. So that's the baseline in YouVersion. But moving from there, what does this checklist for obedience look like? The first thing on our checklist is to reflect on God's word. Reflect on God's word. And this is what I was alluding to a moment ago about reading YouVersion. For me, I found myself just kind of reading through it. Like, okay, I know that verse. Like I grew up in church. Obviously, I've been doing pastor stuff, the ministry here for 25 years, maybe. I've got a Bible degree and a master's degree in Christian education. My point is, I kind of know a lot about the Bible. And if all I do is know the Bible, if that's it, then I'm worthless. It's pointless. It's doing something with it. But for me, it's easy to be kind of like, oh, I just read that. I know that verse. Like, you can give me two or three words, and I probably could finish the whole passage in my head. Maybe not the exact version, word for word, but definitely the concepts. And I found that, no, wait, I need to stop and actually reflect on God's word. And as I said here, reflect on God's word, to study it, to look into what it says, to understand. Not just to read it, but to chew on it, to consider it, to discuss it maybe with other people, to study it. And this is what the writer of Psalms writes in Psalms number 1. In verses 1 to 3, the writer says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord." And that's another word for essentially the word of God, the Bible. "And who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And so the writer of Psalms here says, we need to meditate on it. And that's an idea of just chewing and actually thinking through what we read. And I don't know if you're a reader or whatever, but I find myself sometimes I'm reading something and all of a sudden, like, another thought enters my brain and I'll come back and I'll be like, wait, I finished that page and I have no idea what I just read. And I go back and like, okay, no, wait, focus, read it. And sometimes I have to read it out loud because I'm so distracted by whatever. And this is what the writer of Psalms is saying here. It's like, don't just read it, just meditate on it, chew on it. And he says that the person that does this is blessed. And we're going to see this word again this morning. But we looked at this word blessed last week. And it doesn't mean that you have money. It doesn't mean you have food on your table. It doesn't mean you have stuff. Blessed means that God is actively involved in your life. That's how blessing is defined in the Bible. And so when we meditate, when we chew on God's word, when we reflect on it, when we study it, we're going to be blessed. Why? Not because it's like a good luck charm or a magical thing. It's because then God begins to work in our lives and he's active. And sometimes he's chewing things up and cutting things out that don't belong there. And sometimes he's, you know, as we looked at last week, bringing hardships in so that we can get rid of things that are bad. But the whole thing is that God is active in our lives. And that's why the writer says, whatever they do prospers. Because it's not that we're going to be rich. It's not we're going to be famous. But when it comes to God's standards, if we're obeying the Word of God, if we're meditating on it, then everything we do is going to prosper because we're doing it for the right reasons. We're doing it for God and with what His desires are and for His glory. One other thing to consider here, if you don't even know where to begin with studying the Bible, we did a series a couple of years ago. I'm looking at the wall over here, which you can't see, but it was called It's Elementary. And if you go to our website, mc3church.org/It's Elementary, no apostrophe there, or just go to Listen to the Point and find It's Elementary back there. But it was a 4-week series all about how to study the Bible and looking at the different ways to do it and how we can learn more from what we read rather than just simply reading it. And of course, you've already heard we're hoping to get prime groups back once we're able to move to yellow, whatever that actually means. But when prime groups return, that's not just C1 community for us to gather together, which is so important, as we know, not having had it for all these weeks. But it's also a chance for us in groups to reflect on the Bible. And as we discuss and see what the Word of God says, and we see how that person responded to it and what that meant to them, all of a sudden we're like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes more sense, and I get it now. And that's this whole idea of reflecting on God's Word. So that's the aside from reading it, which is the baseline, the first step on our checklist is reflect on it. Reflect on God's Word. Study it. Let it change us. Begin, like, understanding it, not just reading through it. And let me say this. If you're reading a translation that you don't understand, find one that you do. You know, the NLT we use sometimes here, the NIV are pretty good modern English translations. If you come across a part that you don't understand, ask someone. I mean, honestly, I like it. People are like, hey, Sean, I have a question for you. What does this mean in this passage? And I enjoy when I have the time to get back. I can't usually get back right away, but I love responding to those kind of things. So ask someone if you're not sure what it means. So don't just be like, I don't know, I read that. It doesn't make any sense. God included it for a reason. So reflect on it. Study it. The second thing on our checklist is retain it. Retain God's Word. Memorize it. And this is the, you know, it's a pretty straightforward thing that you, despite the fact that we do have our Bibles available to us pretty much everywhere, because you probably have your phone with you. You might even be staring at it right now to watch this. But we do have them with us, which is kind of a huge, you know, game changer, frankly, over the last 15 years. And then when YouVersion came around about 10, 12 years ago. But you're not always able to pull it out. And so this idea of memorizing God's Word means you know these different things. And so when you come into a situation that you're not sure what to do, you can say, oh, right, I remember that verse. And this is why I need to live this way. This is how I can obey God in this situation. This is what that looks like. So we retain it in us. If you have it in you, then you'll be more likely to obey in a given situation. And in Psalm 119, it's a huge psalm. It actually goes through all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But in verses 9 to 16, it says this. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. There it is again. I have tried hard to find you. He's speaking to God. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I've memorized your word. It's in me so that I can obey you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways, just as we talked about earlier. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. And so the whole idea here is that we need to not just, we need to chew on it, to reflect on it, but then begin memorizing it. And there's a reason we do this with Ignition. And again, if your kids aren't involved in Ignition Online and the Pit Stop app, as a family, it's a great opportunity. And it's okay if adults memorize verses too. But it's an opportunity because we get these things in us. And frankly, there is so much of the Word of God that is in me that isn't as much from my adulthood, but from when I was a child, memorizing those things and going and getting the lollipop or choosing a prize out of the box after Sunday school class. But yet having hidden God's Word in my heart, it's in me. And the more we memorize, the more we can grow, the more we can obey, because we know what to obey, because it's in us. So that's the second thing on our checklist. Reflect on God's Word, and then retain God's Word. Memorize it. Take an opportunity to do that. Pick a verse to memorize once a week. And there's tons of reading plans on YouVersion about memorizing Scripture. So that's an opportunity just to memorize. It doesn't have to be the whole thing. Maybe it's just something small. Maybe it's one verse a month. But that's one step closer for us to understand so that we can obey God's Word. So reflect on God's Word, retain God's Word. And then the third thing here is respond to God's Word. Do it. Do it. Don't just know it, but actually do it. We have to do it. And if you grew up in church, this verse, this story we're going to read here might be familiar to you. And this is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Now, this is Jesus here talking in the quote section. Jesus says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching," sounds like James, "and follows it," also sounds like James, "is wise." So Jesus and James, I mean, it's good, they're on the same path. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. They're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish." Jesus gets in on it too, calling us idiots if we don't obey. We hear but don't obey. He said, they're like a person who builds house on sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And then there's this comment that Matthew records. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the law. So Jesus says, look, it's not about listening. It's about obeying. And again, maybe you grew up in church hearing this. And I remember, I think there was a little song that we used to sing. And it was about the rock being the Bible. That the rock in this story was the Bible. And if everything is built on the Bible. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that the rock, the bedrock, the foundation is the person who follows the Bible. Who obeys God's teaching. That is what a wise person is. So the idea here isn't just to know it. He says, do it. And when you do it, you're going to be able to survive the storms. You're going to be able to get through the hard times because your foundation isn't built on your emotions. It's not built on how you feel. It's not built on someone else's situation. It's not built on the economy. It's not built on politics. It's not built on whether we're in quarantine. We're allowed to go everywhere because our foundation is built on Jesus Christ and obeying his commands. And then we won't collapse. Then we can stand up against those times. Then we are truly blessed because God is active in our lives. That's what the rock of this passage is. It's obeying God's word. It's also not Dwayne Johnson either. That's not the rock in this passage, just in case you were confused. But again, he says, if you're foolish, if you don't obey, then you're not going to be able to handle anything. Then you're not going to be blessed because it's going to collapse. And says that this is all about obedience. And again, the people around Matthew's comment there was that they were like, what is all this about? He speaks like he knows what he's talking about. Because all of the people that they were used to, the religious leaders, were just kind of saying things. And well, if this feels good, go with it. Or maybe do that. Or you can't do that. Or we're going to do this. And there was hypocrisy and all sorts of junk. And they're like, what the heck? This guy's incredible. Wow! Because his teaching was with authority, because his teaching was about obeying the word of God. And so, that's our checklist for obedience. When it comes to this idea of of not just listening, but actually obeying. We need to reflect on God's Word, chew on it, meditate on it. And it doesn't mean you're sitting around and studying for hours and hours on end, but at least maybe read it two or three times. Maybe think about the words you just read. Maybe instead of reading a whole book or maybe even a whole chapter, you read just a few verses so you have a better chance of processing what you're reading. Think about it. What does that mean? Why did he say that? Where are those guys going? What's that road going to? And we take the time, and then all of a sudden, these things start to make a little bit more sense, but we also can obey it. And then the second thing is to retain God's Word. Start to memorize. Allow it to influence you. Allow it to affect you. I know that we've done some series over in the past, and I know we did one sometime last year. I don't even remember what series it was, but we were going over the same verse over and over and over again. I was like, this is getting dull. But I bet you that verse is still in us. That there's that idea of still remembering. And of course, I'm saying that and I can't remember what it was. But give me a break. I'm talking to a camera, okay? Okay, echo. There's no one here except for the camera. And my kids that are doing a great job. Anyway, so retaining it, memorizing it, allowing it to get into us. And sometimes that does mean repetition. I'll call out my kids as I'm already calling them out. But someone in our family has posted Hebrews. Is that chapter 12? Or chapter 11, I found it in the kids' bathroom on the wall, posted there, and in the girls' room there. And that's another way. If you want to learn, retain it, write it down and see it over and over again. Put it on your dashboard, put it on your mirror, but get it in you. And then finally, and this is the big deal, do it. Obey. Don't just know it. Don't just know it and listen and hear, because just if that's the end of your checklist, then you're just like being built on sand. And at dinner the other night, our kids were sitting around. We were all, our whole family, because I have a wife too, Kendra, hey. we were all sitting around talking about our vacation, which we're hoping to be able to go to Florida again this summer. It's been a number of years since we've gone. And just kind of imagining, what do we like the most? And one of the things that was brought up was building things in the sand and sand castles and all that. And in the grand architecture and civil engineering design of sand castles, one of the things that we know, and I've said this to my kids, and I've known this myself too, but if you've ever been to the beach and you build a sand castle, you always want to build the moat. But as soon as you start building the moat, that's the end of the sand castle, because it just all washes away. And maybe you bring metal and reinforce it or something like that. But the point is that if we don't actually respond to the Word of God, then it's just going to be like that sand. It just washes away, because we actually need to do it. And so that brings us back to the point. James is bringing us through this now. We talked about embracing the difficulty last week. Now this week he says, dupes, just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Real faith obeys it. And so before us, we're in crazy times. We are. And the question is, what are we going to do? Who are we going to be? Are we going to be dupes? Are we going to be posers? Are we going to be fakes? Because honestly, if we're going to fake our faith, why even do it? Like, there's better things that we could do. But if we're going to really be passionate and say, I want to follow Jesus, then we're going to have to stop being dupes and just listening and just reading the Bible and start actually obeying it. Because that's what real faith looks like. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Word. And I thank you that you have given it to us, that we have 66 books full of instruction and commands and encouragement and hope and just everything. And I thank you that in that is also the story of Jesus and the story of our own sin and our own failure and how you sent your Son to pick us up, to rescue us, to die on our behalf because of our failure. And so, God, I pray that as we understand, as we read, as we hear your Word, that we wouldn't stop there, that it wouldn't just end with the checklist, but that would be the beginning of actually doing it, of actually obeying it and obeying the things that you have commanded us to do. And I pray, God, that you would help us to do that. Help us to do that when it's inconvenient, because there's going to be times when it's going to be inconvenient. Help us to do that when it's uncomfortable. There's going to be times when it's going to be uncomfortable to obey your Word. Help us to do that when it affects our wallets, Because there's going to be times where it's going to perhaps hurt us financially. Help us to do that if it might end up hurting someone else's feelings. Not that we're intentionally hurting feelings, God. But that obeying sometimes might hurt someone's feelings. Help us to continue to obey knowing that you, God, are the audience that matters. That you are the one that we are to please. Not even ourselves. And that in doing this, in obeying your word, God, thank you that multiple times, even just today as we've looked, we will be blessed. We will prosper. We will be able to withstand the floods. And we will be those things because you are active in our lives. Because we are obeying you. And you are guiding and directing us through. And thank you that by obeying you, God, we don't need to figure it out on our own. We can just trust you in these things. So right now, in this difficult time, in these challenging times, when there's so many other things crying out for our obedience, for our attention, God, I pray that you would help us to obey your word and not to be content with just listening it, just knowing it, but actually doing it so that we can honor you. And in doing that, we will be blessed. Jesus, thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.